Hey y'all, and welcome to Southern Fried Spooky, the podcast home of all things Southern, but not always. Yeah. Spooky, and this week, Leporine.
Leporine.
Or Leporine, I'm not sure. I'm your Carolina girl, Heather.
And I'm your Florida man, Tony.
We'd like to invite you to our virtual bunny hutch to pet some soft long ears, which means please visit our Facebook page and leave a few comments.
Not euphemism.
We also have Patreon, if you'd like to support us there.
Indeed.
So happy spring!
Happy spring.
Happy Easter, almost.
Yeah.
We decided to honor this time of year by delving into the rabbit hole of the Bunny Man urban legend.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. But before we get into that, can we just talk a moment?
About what?
Rabbits have long been associated with spring and were celebrated in the pagan holidays of spring, Ostara, for example, which sort of bled over into Easter.
Yeah.
But how many of you out there and here have had your photo taken with the Easter Bunny, like at the mall each year with your parents?
I can't remember having it done, but I have seen some.
I'm pretty sure I've had mine done.
Yeah.
Let's be real and just say that a lot of those are utter nightmare fuel.
Pretty creepy.
There is just something about, like, an anthropomorphic rabbit with his face just trapped in this rictus of a maniac grin and the protruding bunny teeth. It's just unsettling.
Yeah.
And in earlier decades, it was even worse. So much worse.
You should really watch Donnie Darko.
Frank
from Donnie Darko, yeah.
Now, I had mine done in the 70s and 80s, so they weren't too bad, but the grin's still kind of disturbing.
Yeah.
Generally, rabbits are not known as fierce creatures, unless you watch Monty Python or...
Watership Down.
Yeah.
You wonder why Gen X is so messed up.
We had the great movies with terrible stuff in them.
Oof.
It made us strong.
Yeah, it did.
The Bunny Man is an urban legend that has... variations, like most. Most involve a man wearing a rabbit costume, for some reason, who attacks people with an axe or a hatchet. The only difference there is size, but who's counting?
Yeah.
It is believed to have originated from two incidents in Fairfax County, Virginia, in 1970, and has spread throughout the Washington, D.C. and Maryland areas.
Indeed.
Which I don't think of D.C. as being Southern, but, you know, whatever. Most of the stories occur around Colchester Overpass, a southern railway overpass spanning Colchester Road near Clifton, Virginia, which is now sometimes referred to as Bunnyman Bridge.
Yeah, the Bunnyman Bridge.
It's even on Google. I've seen it. Yep. Like, on the map. So, versions of the legend vary in the Bunnyman's name, motive, weapons, victims, pretty much everything. Description of the costume or lack thereof, and sometimes even his potential demise. In some accounts, the Bunny Man's ghost or aging specter is said to come out of his place of death each year on Halloween, because of course so. I mean, why not?
Maybe, why not? And one would think it would be Easter.
One would think.
Yeah.
That's when things come back to life, right?
Yep.
An axe-wielding killer who appears in a bloody rabbit costume, the Bunny Man allegedly murders anyone who dares speak his name three times, not to be confused with Beetlejuice.
Or Candyman, or Bloody Mary, but there's a bunch of them.
But you have to be standing beneath the Bunny Man Bridge at midnight, according to some...
So it has to be, like, in the 60 seconds between 11:59 and 12:01.
You would think that would be safe to avoid.
Yeah.
According to the Fairfax County Public Library historian, archivist Brian A. Conley, he has extensively researched the Bunny Man legend. He's pinpointed two specific incidents, which I referred to before, of a man in a rabbit costume threatening people with an axe. The reports occurred 10 days apart in 1970 in Burke, Virginia. What began as two minor incidents involving a man wearing bunny ears in 1970 has transformed into an epic urban legend of escaped convicts, disemboweled children, you know, the good stuff, and half-eaten rabbits.
Indeed.
According to The Bunny Man Unmasked, which is a research project written by Conley, Bunny Man's story began 50 years ago. So the first incident was reported on the evening of October 19, 1970, by U.S. Air Force Academy cadet Robert Bennett and his fiancée. Around midnight, while returning from a football game, they reportedly parked their car in a field on Guinea Road to visit an uncle who lived across the street from where the car was parked. As they sat in the front seat with the motor running, they noticed something moving outside the rear window. Moments later, the front passenger window was smashed. Outside, standing near the broken window, stood a looming white figure. That sort of sounds like the description of the Grafton Monster.
Right.
With seal-like... No, not this one.
No.
Bennett turned the car
was
around...
Was it missing its head?
No, I think not. Bennett turned the car around while the man screamed at them about trespassing, saying, "You're on private property. I have your tag number." Sounds like your average Karen.
Get off my lawn!
But as they drove down the road, the couple discovered a hatchet on the car floor. I guess he, like, broke the window and it just went on in.
I guess so.
I don't know. There is, like, a professionally mounted axe on a... some kind of mount. I don't know. Like, a wooden plaque.
Yeah.
That is, like, this is the very axe that happened. You know, it that was used in... I don't know. It's funny, they gave it to the police, but the police were like, yeah, you can keep it. When the police requested a description of the man, Bennett insisted he was wearing a white suit with long bunny ears. However, Bennett's fiancée, she doesn't get a name, contested their assailant did not have bunny ears on his head, but was wearing a white caperot of some sort, which I had to look that up.
Yeah, I was about to say, what is a caperot?
It's a clerical hood in the Catholic Church and looks suspiciously like a KKK hood.
Oh.
But they both remember seeing his face clearly. But in the darkness, they couldn't determine his race. The police returned the hatchet to Bennett after examination.
The cop kind of looks at it, looks over it. Well, okay, here you go.
Yep, that's a hatchet.
That is indeed a hatchet, sir.
Conley was also able to track down the couple that it had the hatchet thrown at them. While they didn't particularly want to talk about the then 45-year-old incident, they did confirm that it happened. They shared vivid details, Conley says, as did the aunt who helped them after the incident. She remembered very clearly combing glass from the window out of the girl's hair. The second reported sighting occurred on the evening of October 29th, 1970, around 10:30 p.m. Construction security guard Paul Phillips. You've been that before, haven't you?
Construction security? No. I've been security. I've never been construction security.
Okay. I always try to make this relate to you in some fashion. Yeah. I don't want to mention the hatchet. Paul Phillips approached a man standing on the porch of an unfinished home in Kings Park West on Guinea Road. Apparently he likes Guinea Road.
Yeah. Shouldn't it be the guinea pig man then?
Phillips said the man was wearing a gray, black, and white bunny costume and was about 20 years old, 5 foot 8 inches, and about 175 pounds. He, like, really took a good stare at this person. The man began chopping at a porch post with a long-handled axe, saying, "You're trespassing. If you come any closer, I'll chop off your head."
Any good security would pull out their pistol and be like, "Please try it." Or, to quote Doc Holliday, "No, by all means, move."
Well, apparently, as I read, the security man didn't have his gun on him. Yeah. He had to go back to the office to fetch it. The Fairfax County Police opened investigations into both incidents, and both were eventually closed for lack of evidence. In the weeks following the incidents, more than 50 people contacted the police claiming to have seen the Bunny Man. Several newspapers, including the Washington Post, reported that the Bunny Man had eaten a man's runaway cat.
Wow.
I just had this horrible thought of, like, you know, what kind of evidence could you find? Just, like, what looks like raisins on the road?
Right.
In 1973, Patricia Johnson, a student at the University of Maryland, College Park, submitted a research paper that chronicled precisely 54 variations of the two incidents. Many maintain the same basic plot in some shape or form, but vary in details, like location and, you know, the specifics.
Yeah.
A handful even mention the Bunny Man committing murders. Conley cites this as evidence of how the original Bunny Man story had mutated through various retellings and that the story would be taken to new heights in the early days of the internet, which is
so
definitely true.
It's like phone game.
Oh, yeah. It totally is. And I kind of wonder, you know, now that we're not in the practice of oral history so much, how much embellishment we allow ourselves we tell these things. Conley further stated that the most widely circulated version of the story was posted to the website Castle of Spirits in 1999. In it, user Timothy J. Forbes claimed the Bunny Man was a convict who escaped while being transported to a new facility in 1904 in a group transfer. Apparently there was a crash and they all escaped. Mm. Police found all but two of them, Marcus Walster and Douglas Griffin. The story proceeds to chronicle a series of grisly, almost supernatural murders committed at Bunnyman Bridge, most occurring decades before the officially documented sightings.
Okay.
So while on the hunt for Walster and Griffin, investigators continually stumbled upon the carcasses of dismembered and half-eaten rabbits in the forest. And then while searching near the Colchester Overpass, which I've mentioned before, the railway bridge, they found Walster's body. And he was clutching a handmade hatchet. I don't know how you do that these days. So finally, the killer was cornered, but he was hit by a passing train before he could be apprehended, according to this one version.
Oh, so how do you corner someone on railroad tracks?
I guess between the escape routes and the obvious choice, which is a bad one.
Well, I mean, okay. I'm just like,
maybe it was poorly worded.
On railroad
perhaps.
Tracks, there has to be like 12 foot of clearing on either side.
This is urban legend. No one said it was carefully researched when they were making it up. A year later, according to the legend, the Bunny Man started appearing to people wandering in the tunnel beneath the bridge. Now I'm thinking of the Road to Nowhere, bridge that we went to in pitch dark.
With Bunny Man Bridge, it's like quite literally a road length.
Yeah, it's very short. I've seen pictures.
You can see right through it.
On Halloween night, three teenagers were drinking in the tunnel, which, as he mentioned, is very short.
Yep.
When the clock struck midnight, I'm envisioning Cinderella moments here, some big church bell somewhere, suddenly a bright flash appeared, and within seconds, all three teens were hanging from the overpass with their throats slashed, and they'd been disemboweled. And then another six the next year.
So, they were killed by a ninja rabbit?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Of course, you know.
Yeah.
According to Conley, all the specifics given in the Forbes version are completely false.
Yeah.
Not only did the stated murders never happen, but key institutions mentioned, such as the old Clifton Library, allegedly the source of the author's information, never existed in the first place. Colchester Overpass was built around 1906, near the site of Sangster's Station, a Civil War-era railroad station, on what was once the Orange and Alexandria Railroad. Because of its association with the legend, the overpass is a popular destination for paranormal enthusiasts,
like ghost hunters,
and curiosity seekers. Interest increased around Halloween, and starting in about 2003, the local authorities began controlling access to the area during that time. Not so much that they're afraid of murders, but because it's busy.
I was about to say, it's busy and people are stupid.
In 2011, during Halloween, over 200 people came, some as far away as Pennsylvania and Maryland. 14-hour traffic checkpoint. It was busy. In 2014, the Northern Virginia-based band Mantua Finials released a 3-CD rock opera about the legend of the Bunny Man, featuring songs such as Bunny Sweet and All Hallows Eve. Written by band members Jim Waters and Chris Piller, the rock opera weaves fact with folklore to tell the story behind the legend.
Mm.
Waters, who grew up in Northern Virginia, has his own theories about the Bunny Man. He told the Washington Post, there were some old homesteads in the land adjacent to Kings Park West, a community that was being built, the one where the guy hatched at the, the porch post. It seems to me there's a likelihood that one of these kids who may have lived on one of those old homesteads may have been the Bunny Man.
I mean,
Nobody likes new people moving in, right?
It makes more sense.
Officer W.L. Johnson of the Fairfax County Police Department investigated the Bunny Man case back in 1970 when the first reports came in. He wasn't sure he ever actually existed at all. In his official report on the case, Johnson wrote, "After a very extensive investigation into this and all other cases of this same nature, it is still unsubstantiated as to whether or not there is really a white rabbit."
Doom. White Rabbit by Jefferson Airplane.
Oh. I was just thinking of Harvey for some reason.
I was thinking One Pill Makes You Larger and One. That song?
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of people call it Go Ask Alice.
Oh, yes.
It's actually called White Rabbit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Pretty psychedelic. True story or not, the town of Clifton, Virginia has embraced the tale of the Bunny Man.
I mean, who wouldn't?
And visitors can find, of course, the prerequisite t-shirts, souvenirs, mm-hmm. at some of the local shops. There's even a local brewery named after the urban legend. For the full Bunny Man experience, consider checking out the Clifton Haunted Trail to explore the area. The location of Bunny Man Bridge is easy to find. The actual address is 6497 Colchester Road, Clifton, Virginia. But you can also...
20124.
You can also type Bunny Man Bridge into Google Maps and it'll show you.
Yeah.
But if you want to find it yourself, you can, but be warned. The trip requires caution. The roads are winding, hilly, and dark, with sharp drop-offs on either side. That just sounds like so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
The tunnel itself is single car width, and it's difficult to see cars coming from the other side, so pause before driving through.
Right.
There's no shoulder on the road, and parking is not allowed. And people in the neighborhood walk along the road, so be careful when passing.
I would also recommend honking your horn as you're...
That could happen.
Getting up to... Yeah.
And the road itself is a dead end, so after passing through the bridge, you'll have to go
Turn
to the end.
Turn around and do it again.
Come right yeah. back. And, you know, I'm sure the residents get a little weary of all the tourists.
Right.
So, once more, we've come to the end of another episode.
About 20 minutes of your life has been taken up.
Filled with long-eared terror.
Right.
If you have any ideas, feel free to send them to us and we'll add them to our list. Join us next week for more of whatever this is that we do.
Yep.
And we hope to see you then. In the meantime, I'm your Carolina girl, Heather.
And I'm your Florida man, Tony.
And we are Southern Fried Spooky. Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.
Now, happy Easter.
Yeah, happy Easter. See, now I want to go back and what was the name of that movie, Night of the Lepus?
Night of the Lepus.
It's like the giant rabbits.
Yes. That God, attack. I God, mean, that but movie it's... was... From the era of all kinds of atomic giant creatures, like them, yes. the ants, so, or mantis, or...
Food of the gods!
A good movie, to be sure.
So, rabbit kaiju.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Rabbit kaiju.